from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. Here is the news read by Setiorini. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says women must have equal opportunities in education and workplace. The trilateral ulama meeting will contribute peace in Afghanistan. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said that every woman must have equal opportunity in education and career. All children and young women should have equal opportunities in education, workplace, career, and in public awards. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo in the town square of Lamongan, East Java, on the occasion of International Women's Day on March 8. He also disclosed that working for a more peaceful, prosperous, and just life in education and professional work, women should stand equally with men. President Joko Widodo also ensures that the state will support the struggle of women. President of the Republic of Indonesia Joko Widodo, accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, will attend the ASEAN-Australia Special Summit in Australia on March 18 this year. Director of Foreign External Cooperation in ASEAN at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Benny Siahaan, said in Jakarta on Thursday that ASEAN-Australia Special Summit aims to encourage strategic cooperation between Australia and ASEAN. He also said that the meeting is called the Summit Special Summit because it becomes the first among ASEAN heads of states conducted outside the territory of ASEAN member countries. He also disclosed that a series of event at Special Summit will be held in Australia, such as ASEAN-Australia Business Summit, ASEAN-Australia Disaster Management, ASEAN-Australia Engagement, ASEAN-Australia Economic Partnership, ASEAN-Australia Counterterrorism Partnership. The main documents to be produced from the ASEAN-Australia Summit are the Sydney Declaration and the Counterterrorism Memorandum of Understanding. The Sydney Declaration is a document to be adopted by the heads of leaders of ASEAN and Australia countries, which becomes joint commitment of ASEAN and Australia action plans. Indonesia will host trilateral ulama meeting from Indonesia, Afghanistan, and Pakistan in the end of March this year. Pakistani Ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Akil Nadim to Voice of Indonesia at the Embassy of Pakistan in Jakarta on Thursday afternoon explained that the meeting becomes a precious moment for ulamas to be able to encourage peace in Afghanistan. He also said the ulamas will be able to give recommendations for the stability and support for people of Afghanistan to feel peace because of prolonged conflict.
Oh, well, I think this is a very good initiative, you know, and Pakistan government has announced to support it, you know, and now at the moment discussions are going on how to arrange that meeting, you know, and our government, Indonesian government and Afghan government are are in consultation to hold that conference successfully, and I'm confident that this initiative by the Indonesian government would contribute towards return of peace in Afghanistan.
Furthermore, Ambassador Muhammad Akil Nadim also expected the meeting of ulamas from three countries can play a major role to support peace in Syria. Even they can facilitate resolution to stop conflict in Syria, so the people of Syria can live in a safe and stable country. The Jakarta Center of Law Enforcement Cooperation and the Bali Police, supported by the British government, held a counter-terrorism drill at Benoa Seaport in Denpasar, Bali on Thursday. Bali Police Chief Inspector General Petrus Golose said the drill was in preparation for the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and World Bank meeting in Bali in October this year. He also said that he guarantees the meeting will be safe on the island. Dozens of Bali police personnel took part, including the counterterrorism squad and water police. The drill also involved other stakeholders like the Disaster Mitigation Agency and the Fire Brigade. However, Petrus emphasized that there was no threat of the terrorist attack on the island. He added the police are just preparing to enhance the capability of the Bali police and other related stakeholders. Low-cost carrier City Link Indonesia plans to introduce international flight to Southeast Asian countries such as Malaysia, Penang, Singapore, and Thailand, Bangkok. Indonesia's President Director of CityLink, Yuliandra Nur Cahyo, has said in Jakarta recently that the additional flight routes can improve airplane utilization. This can increase revenue and compensate the climbing operation costs. He also said that the Jakarta-Penang flight route will be available once a day, while the Jakarta-Singapore flight will serve airplane passengers twice each day since it has a higher number of potential passengers. The Jakarta-Penang flight will open in March this year, and the flight to Singapore and Bangkok will open in April and mid-year respectively. Yuliandra further stated that his company already has flights to China and Jeddah for chartered flights. As for domestic flights, CityLink Indonesia has already introduced the Jakarta-Banyuwangi flight and increased its flight frequency to Solo, Palangkaraya, and Banjarmasin. Visitor of the 2018 ITB Berlin Convention flocked the Indonesian Pavilion to taste Indonesia's various single-origin coffee and infamous traditional herbal beverage jamu. The event is one of the world's largest tourism conventions in Messe Berlin, held from March 7th to 11th. Visitors were mainly attracted to the coffee and jamu that have distinctive taste compared to the beverages that are available throughout Europe. Home coffee roastery barista Daryl Junior said on Thursday that the types of coffee presented in the exhibition come from five Indonesian regions. He chose to take with him batches of freshly roasted coffee beans from Aceh Gayo, Bali Kintamani, Flores Bajawa, Toraja and Rekang, and Java Ijen. He decides to feature beans from those five regions because baristas and coffee lovers consider to have unique taste. Beside coffee, the Indonesian pavilions also offered traditional blends of jamu beverages by Khair Zara such as Kunyit Asam Wedang Jai and Betawis Beer Platok. Host country Indonesia is aiming to win at least 16 gold medals in the upcoming 18th Asian Games. This was stated by Vice President Yusuf Kala on Thursday. Vice President Yusuf Kala, who acts as a supervisor for the local organizers as well as the Indonesian team, said that grabbing the 16 gold medals could place the host country among the top 10 finishers in the Games, which will run from August 18 to September 2nd. He also said that Indonesia has targeted to finish in the top 10 and Indonesia has to win at least 16 gold medals to reach the target. Anything easier than that will not be good enough for Indonesia. Previously, the government has set 20 gold medals as a target to finish in the top 10 position in the quadrennial event. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo says women must have equal opportunities in education and workplace. The trilateral ulama meeting will contribute peace in Afghanistan. That was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Timor-Leste and Australia signed a sea border agreement. After a 10-year dispute, Timor-Leste and Australia signed a maritime border agreement at the UN headquarters in New York, USA last Wednesday. This is a permanent agreement between the two countries after a non-permanent one that Timor-Leste deems very damaging. In the deal signed by Australian Prime Minister Julia Bishop and Timor-Leste Deputy Prime Minister for Border Delimitation Affairs, Augusto Cabral, the two countries agreed to use the UNCLOS Convention on the Law of the Sea. Since separating from Indonesia in 2002, East Timor has attempted to negotiate its maritime borders with Australia. Although assisted by Australia during the referendum, Timor-Leste does not want to be dictated in maritime border affairs. For over 10 years since 2006, Timor-Leste has fought and even botched this issue to the International Arbitration Tribunal for a fair decision. The injustice to Timor-Leste is due to the non-permanent border setting. The maritime borders of the two states were determined on the basis of the Australian continental shelf closer to Timor-Leste. With the implementation of UNCLOS, the maritime borders of the two states are the medians of their respective coastlines. The signing of this agreement became a victory for East Timor's diplomacy and gave hope for the control of oil and gas-rich resources in the Greater Sunrise region. Timor-Leste will receive a large share of revenue than Australia, depending on the Council of Development. If oil and gas mining from Greater Sunrise is channeled to Timor-Leste, its share is 70%. Conversely, if channeled to Australia for processing, East Timor gets 80%. Australia itself was willing to sign this agreement, underlying that East Timor is also entitled to its economic potential. Indonesia, through the Foreign Ministry spokesman Arman Atanasir, welcomed the result of the bilateral talks and will study the details of the agreement once it is opened. The efforts of the two states to conclude this treaty peacefully are worthy of respect, even though it had previously been strained by bringing the matter to the International Arbitration Tribunal. It is hoped that East Timor can develop its economy from natural resources, while Australia, which is willing to release the part, which was claimed based on the continental shelf of the country, also deserves appreciation. It is hoped that Indonesia and other countries with similar problems can solve their border dispute peacefully as Timor-Leste and Australia did. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. Presenting you historical facts of the day.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on February 9, 1946, an Indonesian Press Association was founded. The Indonesian Journalists Association, was founded on February 9, 1946. On the initiative of a few journalists, a congress was held in Solo, Central Java. They agreed to set up an organization with the name of the Indonesian Journalists Association, PWI. The organization's goal is to unite all journalists in Indonesia with all their potentials. In the Congress, Sumanang was elected as the first chairman of the Indonesian Journalists Association. In 1985, through a Presidential Decree No. 5, 1985, the birth date of the Indonesian Journalists Association also officially became the National Press Day. The next event was on February 9, 1965, the Vietnam War, also called the Second Indochina War, began. The Vietnam War, also called the Second Indochina War, occurred on February 9, 1965. The First Indochina War was between the Vietnamese people who fought against the French colonialists and ended in the defeat of France in the 50s. February 9 is often said to be the beginning of the Second Indochina War, marked with the arrival of the 1st Battalion of the U.S. military forces, who were sent to South Vietnam. This battalion was an air defense force incorporated in the U.S. Marine Corps. The deployment of American troops sparked protests from various corners of the world. The Vietnam War ended in the early 70s. The defeat of South Vietnam, which was held by the United States by North Vietnamese, who were aided by China and the Soviet Union. Both North and South Vietnam later were united in 1976. The last event, which was occurred on February 9, 1967, the House of Representatives of Gotong Royong submitted a resolution and memorandum to President Sukarno. The Provisional People's Consultative Assembly, MPRS, requested the accountability of President Sukarno. In the 1966 General Session of the MPRS on the rebellion of the September 30th movement of the Indonesian Communist Party, or G30 SPKI, economic and moral decline. To meet the MPRS request, President Sukarno delivered his mandate on June 22, 1966, entitled Nawaksara or Nine Articles. The MPRS deemed that the mandate did not meet the people's expectations because it did not clearly contain the president's policy as the MPRS mandate on these three matters. On January 10, 1967, President Sukarno gave auxiliary of Nawaksara, but the content also did not satisfy many parties. Therefore, the Gotong Royong People's Legislative Assembly submitted a resolution and memorandum on February 9, 1967, rejecting Nawaksara and its auxiliaries. Furthermore, the Gotong Royong People's Legislative Assembly proposed to the MPRS to hold a special session to dismiss President Sukarno from the post of president as mandatory of the MPRS. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today's edition entitled Indonesia Continue to Manage Economic Growth. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati confirmed that Indonesia continues to maintain good economic growth momentum by maintaining performance stability from the state budget APBN. Minister Sri Mulyani said this in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 7, responding to the International Monetary Fund IMF's recent assessment to the Indonesian economy. Minister Sri Mulyani said that one of the efforts to maintain the stability of the state budget performance is to maintain the budget deficit in a controlled level and approved by the law, which is 3% for the gross domestic product, GDP. According to Sri Mulyani, the consolidation of the state budget becomes a cornerstone when an economic outbreak comes from outside. Previously, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, launched the assessment result, which was contained in the consultation report Article 4, to Indonesia in 2017. The report has been discussed in the IMF Executive Council meeting in Washington, D.C. on January 10, 2018. The IMF assessed that Indonesia is currently in a good position to overcome various social economic challenges. The position is supported with a recovery of performance in the investment and export sectors, which growing positively since 2017. IMF estimated, with a fiscal reform scenario, the Indonesian potential growth can reach 6.5% on the middle term in 2022. All IMF executive directors in the meeting appreciated Indonesian economy and welcomed the country's short-term policy of austerity, which is intended to support the economic growth and keep its stability. The board of directors also viewed positively the effort of the authorities that focusing on public spending to priority sectors and welcome the progress of infrastructure investment in Indonesia. The executive director of the IMF also emphasizes that good structural fiscal reform stages should be a priority. Meanwhile, the governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, said the IMF views are in line with the assessment of BI, which believes the resilience of the Indonesian economy is getting better. Inflation during 2017 was at a low level of 3.61% year-on-year, so that in the last 3 years inflation managed to be controlled within the target range. According to him, the economic growth in 2017 reached 5.07%, supported by the improvement of infrastructure investment by the government and the role of private investment. In addition, the improvement was marked by a healthy current account balance and high inflows of foreign capital, as well as a stable rupiah exchange rate. With these developments, Indonesia's foreign exchange reserve at the end of 2017 reached the highest record in the history of $130.2 billion. In line with that, the stability of financial system during 2017 still be maintained. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo said that every woman must have equal opportunity in education and career. All children and young women should have equal opportunities in education, workplace, career, and in public awards. President of the Republic of Indonesia Joko Widodo, accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, will attend the ASEAN-Australia Special Summit in Australia on March 18 this year. Indonesia will host trilateral ulama meeting from Indonesia, Afghanistan and Pakistan at the end of March this year. Pakistani ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Akhir Nadim to Voice of Indonesia at the Embassy of Pakistan in Jakarta on Thursday explained that the meeting becomes previous moment for ulamas to be able to encourage peace in Afghanistan. The Jakarta Center for Law Enforcement Cooperation and the Bali Police, supported by the British government, held a counter-terrorism drill at Benoasi Port in Denpasar, Bali on Thursday. Bali Chief Police Chief Inspector General Petrus Golose said the drill was in preparation of the International Monetary Fund IMF and World Bank meeting in Bali in October this year. Low-cost carrier CityLink Indonesia plans to introduce the international flights to Southeast Asian countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand. Visitors of the 2018 ITB Berlin Convention flocked the Indonesian pavilions to taste Indonesia's various single-origin coffee and infamous traditional herbal beverage jamu. The event is one of the world's largest tourism conventions in Messe Berlin, held from March 7th to 11th. Host country Indonesia is aiming to win at least 16 gold medals in the upcoming 18 Asian Games. This was stated by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Thursday. Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who acts as a supervisor for local organizers as well as the Indonesian team, said that grabbing the 16 gold medals could place the host country among the top 10 finishers in the Games. That was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Jambi province. Stay tuned. Listener, Jambi is a province in Sumatra Island. The region is located precisely on the east coast of Sumatra Island. Like other provinces, Jambi also offers a variety of interesting places to visit. Jambi is famous for its Malay city, but actually the province also has many natural and artificial tourist attractions. For natural tourism, Jambi has Mount Kerinci and Muaro Temple. While for artificial tourism, the region has Jambi Paradise, a modern tourism object. Jambi Paradise is located at the intersection of Acai, Galam River, and Jambi City. Its tourist objects offer a variety of natural beauty and exciting tourist activities such as playing boats, flying fox, and enjoying the labyrinth zone. To visit Jambi Paradise from Sultan Toha Airport, it is 7.5 kilometers with approximately 10 minutes via Soekarno-Hatta Street. Entering this tourism site, you are required to pay 20,000 rupiah fees on weekdays and 30,000 rupiah on holiday. The opening hours from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Listener, when entering the Jambi Paradise, you will be greeted with aloe from vines with birds and chickens on the right and left side of the area. The 30-meter long azel is one of the Instagrammable places in Jambi Paradise. You can make photographs by yourself or selfie in the azel. Not far from the object, it looks bamboo stands on the right and left side that give coolness when sitting under it. While on the top, you can find a suspension bridge. Jambi Paradise has a major tourist object, such as quite large water tourism, with the main design of a small lake that's surrounding the mainland in the middle. If you are tired of traveling around the area, you can rent saung around the edge of the lake to enjoy some snacks or just enjoy young coconut ice. Besides traveling and taking pictures in the Instagrammable spots, you can also try various interesting places in Jambi Paradise. You can try Flying Fox, which is the longest flying fox in Jambi, with the ticket price of 30,000 rupiah per person. Just below the Flying Fox, there is also a suspension bridge. You can test your adrenaline by climbing this suspension bridge with a ticket of 20,000 rupiah. For those who want to exercise, you can also rent a bike in Jambi Paradise to get around the area. You can also rent an ATV motorcycle, which is located not far from the entrance of Jambi Paradise. Other interesting facilities in the Jambi Paradise are, among others, boats, water bikes, and also water balloons. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Jambi Paradise. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa. Bye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany. And with me, today's edition will inform you about breath, respiratory detection from optical fiber. Currently, breathing detection devices in Indonesia are considered very limited in quantity. Even there is an analog system only. The electrode material used as a sensor is also poor in irradiated fields such as MRI. The size of the tool is also still large. Seeing this, lecturer of 10 November Institute of Technology ITS in Surabaya, East Java, Agus Muhammad Hatta, invents innovative sensor to detect various breathing with fiber optics as the main material. The tool is called Senapas or optical fiber for breath. In his invention, Agus Muhammad Hatta discovered the tool at the Photonic Engineering Laboratory of ITS Engineering Department of Physics. The man, who is familiarly called Hatta, explained that the optical fiber is a transmission line. It's a kind of cable made of glass or plastic. This tool is very smooth. Its diameter is approximately 120 micrometers. The size is thinner than a hair. The thin cable can be used to deliver light signals from one place to another. Light sources used are usually laser or light-emitting diode or LED. The light inside the optical fiber will also not come out because the refractive index of glass is bigger than the refractive index of air. So, the fiber optic transmission speed is very high. Listener Agus Muhammad Hatta, as chairman of the Department of Physics and Engineering, explained, "Optical fiber is chosen as a sensor because it is lightweight, small, and practical. Its small shape makes it possible to use Senapas anytime and anywhere. In addition, the optical fiber properties are also immune to electromagnetic field, so it is safe to use in the environment of magnetic imaging resonance, or MRI. The optical fiber is placed in an oxygen mask connected to the liquid crystal display, or LCD. Because optical fibers are used as sensors, the breath can measure the breathing quality directly from the oxygen mask run to the display monitor. Hatta also views that breathing detection device breath is very useful. It can be used not only for medical analysis, but also psychological analysis or the resilience of workers in the industrial world. Take, for example, in the mining industry. Mining conditions underground may be observed with this respiratory detection device directly, and it can also detect the athlete's fitness condition or other cases. Hatta hope this tool can be commercialized freely, although the selling value of this tool is quite expensive. Data viewer system is quite expensive, but the oxygen mask is quite cheap because once it is used, it can be thrown away. Listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic breath respiratory detection from fiber optics. We meet again on another occasion with other interesting topics. Bye for now.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present the songs of the people of Banten. So, stay with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Aja gelem dadi wong bodho, bakale akeh dibebodho. Mangkane kudu rajin belajar, ndak uripe ora susah. Lamun uwis dadi wong pinter, aja elok meminteri. Tambah pinter kudune tambah bener, endah duhur derajate. Yo ragem belajar endah kita dadi pinter, yo ragem belajar endah kita tambah bener, yo ragem belajar endah pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger. Yo ragem belajar endah kita dadi pinter, yo ragem belajar endah kita tambah bener, yo ragem belajar endah pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger. Aja elok meminteri, tambah pinter kudune tambah bener, endah duhur derajate. Yo ragem belajar endah kita dadi pinter, yo ragem belajar endah kita tambah bener, yo ragem belajar endah pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener kebelinger. Yo ragem belajar endah kita dadi pinter, yo ragem belajar endah kita tambah bener, yo ragem belajar endah pinter tambah bener, dadi pinter tambah bener ora kebelinger.
Listeners, you've just listened to the song from the Banten region entitled Ju Ragem Belajar. Banten is a province resulted from the growing region from the West Java province. The majority of the population are Sundanese. So, no wonder if the local people mostly speak Sundanese and the song you just heard also sounds Sundanese. Yu Ragem Belajar song was sung by Syahri Aliman, and it contains a series of messages that teachers and students are always devoted to parents and always studious and diligent to pray. The song, consisting of 12 lines, is slow-paced with simple lyrics. Yu Ragem Belajar was usually sung by parents when their son was about to sleep and became an irrepressible night entertainment by the children of Banten in the past. Well, listeners, let's listen to the song entitled Ibu. Happy listening.
Thank you. kabeh manusia kuduni runyening ibu sing lahiraken lan ngegedekaken ngemong kita ora lirena terasa agak susah. Sekabeh manusia kudune emaning ibu sing doakaken lanakeng ngajari dadadi uang orepe ora sengsara siki kita uwis pada ngerti masa iya nangkel ning ibu pengen kita masih dorong ngerti akeng ngelarani atine ibu
Listeners, the song was sung at once, composed by Shahri Aliman. The song tells about the story of a mother's struggle in childbirth, raising and caring for her child. The lyrics of the song is simple, but it has a moral message of its own, where the child must be obedient to the mother for good. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Tong Sarakah by Syahril Alimin. Tong Sarakah means do not be greedy. In accordance with the title, the lyric of this song reminds that human beings are not greedy in life and they must always remember the lies of the hereafter. Well, listeners, here is the song.
Suara ajan di masiki ngabejaan bis waktu na sholat sahajal manu masagi salam dunia akhirat di masiki sholat berjamaah ambe gede pahala ambe urang menang beka tapi labun saraka jenghara bakal ruksa kena awan hirup maula saraka ambe urang menang beka tapi labun saraka jenghara bakal ruksa kana awan sigit sholat berjamaah ambe gede pahalana pun masagi hirup tumaina tangtu hade karajana hirup maula saraka ambe urang menang beka tapi labun saraka jenghara bakal ruksa kana awan hirup maula saraka ambe urang nenang beka tapi labun saraka jenghara bakal ruksa kana sekabeh manusia
kudune emaning ibu sing doakaken lanakeng ngajari dadadi uang orepe ore sengsara. Siki kita uwis pada ngerti masa iya nangkel ning ibu pengen kita masih durung ngerti akeng warani atine ibu
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.